The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. And if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. You can also give me an email, and that is easy to do. Just info@carm.org, info@carm.org. And put in the subject line, radio comment, radio question. And for the podcaster, today's date is May 10th, 2024. All right, I'm going to ask a favor of people because I'm going to do an experiment here. SEO is search engine optimization stuff, and I keep pretty good records on CARM, and I have been doing it since 2009. So I do a daily count. I do one of page views of new visitors, returning visitors, and that's how I know that we've had 162 million visitors. Well, what I've noticed lately is that the site's traffic is going down, and I've heard other ministries say similar things. So it's a noticeable decrease. What I'm asking here is one, just an experiment. Fridays are pretty much typically slow days for the internet. That's okay. Just that's what it is. Tuesdays are and Wednesdays are usually pretty busy. So what I'm asking is if you could go to the CARM website. And just you can click on it once, one article, whatever, just to go, because it'll show up after midnight. All the counts come in, and then I can check and I can compare it to the previous Fridays to see if there's any difference. I'm just curious. It's just off the top of my head, kind of a thing to do. So all you have to do is go to CARM, CARM.org, and click on a page. I'm not saying click on one page 18 times, but you know, just kind of click, see what, know what the traffic is, and that. All right, that's one thing. Also, if you want to watch the show and participate with wonderful people, usually wonderful people, in the chat room, we send most of our stuff out on Rumble, and Rumble is equivalent to YouTube. Of course, YouTube is the mammoth, but. YouTube is liberal, and I got to be careful what I say in the radio about COVID and the Biden crime family and things like that, because I can get they disciplined. They say, "Oh, sorry, you gave misinformation." You know, like if I say, "Here's a test," like masks, the standard masks that you wear that they have with their, if they're worn properly, are 50 to 60% effective. Cloth mask is pure cloth. Are 3% effective. These are just facts. Okay? Now, I've said those things before, and within 2-3 days, I'm banned for just repeating a fact. Okay, so we're going to see if it's going to happen. But it doesn't, that happens on YouTube, but it doesn't happen on Rumble, which is why we're going to Rumble more and more. We simulcast to 2 YouTube channels and also to Rumble. So, like I was saying again, if you want to just help me out with a little test for traffic, I'm just asking you, the listeners, to go to my website, carm.org. Just click on it once. That's all you got to do. Just go, yep, been there. Okay, now do important stuff. And I'll be able to tell how the traffic is and if the radio listening audience that I've asked makes any noticeable difference in the traffic. I'm just curious. That's all it is. Not a big deal. All right, now we have a caller kind of in limbo, so I'm not sure what's happening with that. There we go. So, okay, so that's working, right? Everything's working. Good, good, good. And as soon as he's activated, we'll get to him. And then what I'll probably end up doing is a little bit of hate mail and a little bit of wacko mail. Like I said, we got a new wacko mail coming in, so we'll see how it works. Okay, so, and I'm waiting for that, but like I said, if you want to email me, you can. If you comment or a question for the radio show, just go to your email and direct it to info at carm, carm.org, info at carm.org. Put in the subject line, radio comment, radio question. We can get to it, see? And look, I can see, like Jim, he put in radio question, but he put it in at 9:14 this morning. So, let's see, question about your tech. Huh. Okay, anyway, let's get to Luke from Washington, D.C. Luke, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm all right. Hanging in there. So what do you got, man?
Have you heard about the recent news about a radio programmer, K.P. Yohanan?
Who?
He's an Indian guy. He is. He is the president of GFA, Gospel for Asia.
Oh, okay.
A large non-profit mission organization with the focus on India and Asia. He's also the founding Metropolitan Bishop of the Believers Eastern Church. And he was he graduated from Theological Seminary in Dallas in 1976. And he was a Baptist minister. And he has a lot of title now. And anyway, he died on 8th May on a car accident in Dallas, Texas.
He was just
like you. He was a Bible answering man, in U.S. in Toronto FM in Washington D.C. He changed his name. Now he's in Eastern Orthodox. He started a new church, Eastern Orthodox Church in India, and his name. He changed his name, Athanasius Johann First. And he authored over 200 books on Christian living and missions.
Okay, do you have a question, though? Do you have a question at all?
My question is, he took a lot of money. He has a fraud money from U.S. It's a Grace Church. I don't know the Grace Church. Sending hundred thousands of, last 17 years, hundreds of thousands of dollars to India. He sent some pictures of poor people.
Do you have a question, though?
Yeah, question. What do you think about this kind of people or this kind of missionaries? Actually, he's not missionary. He's a Baptist preacher, Baptist radio, Bible acting man, and then he changed.
Okay, so I think it's good what they're doing. We want more missionaries out there and make money so they can get radio going. I wish we had a lot more money so we could do a lot more in CARM. Praise God that he did that. Unfortunately, he died, and he's with the Lord now, so there you go.
No. He changed his... now he become Eastern Orthodox Bishop. Handgraf, you know the Handgraf, what is his name?
Handgraf, he became Eastern Orthodox, Hank Handgraf. Yeah, that would tell me that he was not a Christian, yes.
Same like this guy. He was a Baptist priest, and then he become Eastern Orthodox, and he become as a bishop. Now, no, Handgraf not become a bishop. This guy, even though he's married, he can become a bishop. In that church, because he started the church. He's the first bishop of that church in India.
Okay. You're just giving me a bunch of information like it's a biography. But I just wanted a question and got that question. So now, is this the guy, Gospel for Asia, right? Is that him?
Yes, Gospel for Asia. Yes.
Yeah, he died. I'm reading it. It says died of a cardiac arrest at the age of 74. That's what it says in a hospital in Dallas, Texas. So, whatever, but I'm looking at it.
No, not cardiac arrest. He has a car accident, and then during the car accident and emergency surgery, he can have cardiac arrest. That's happened.
Okay. All right. So if he went into the Eastern Orthodox Church, then I certainly would doubt his salvation. Absolutely. Okay, can't say for sure, so unfortunately that's what I would have to say about that. Okay,
can you research about him, and then I will ask question next time. And okay, Gospel for Asia, how much money he cheated on Canada, America, so many countries.
He cheated?
Many
You mean he cheated?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
I don't know. You know, I don't need to research him because I have so many other things I'm working on right now. And I'm just trying to get some projects going. So a research like that would mean stopping everything else. But I'm reading an article about him right now, and you know, it's just on ChristianPost.com. So, you know, there you go. I hope he's with the Lord. Hope he was Christian. But if he embezzled and robbed people, I don't know. I mean, you're saying it, but I don't know if that's true or not. Okay? So I don't know.
So you need to write an article about him. Just research about, because this is so many. America is, you know, he's a number one fraud, just like a Kenneth Copeland. You know, Kenneth Copeland, all those people in India.
Okay. Yeah, it's just, look. People want me to. I have over 850 articles I'm supposed to write. And that's not even including individuals I'm supposed to research. I have 850 questions waiting for me. 850. Maybe 843. I don't know. But I have over 100 people I'm supposed to analyze. And right now, I'm basically the only one writing for CARM. And so I just don't have a lot of time. Plus, I have to do video work, I have to establish a video presence. I have to figure out how to get all my video work to be for phone size on different medias. And I'm trying, so it takes a lot of energy. And when everybody else goes home and are done at 5 o'clock, I don't quit till 9. So I've just already got a lot going. And if I get to them, I get to them. If I don't, I don't. Okay? Okay?
No, yeah, I'm just saying he has a lot of controversies about income tax raid, court rulings in India, and lawsuits in America, U.S. federal lawsuits. Yeah, he's a fraud,
Luke,
lawsuits.
Luke, I got you. Luke, I got it. I got it. Luke, I got it. Okay. 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 I got what you're saying, but I just don't have time right now, okay? All right. So appreciate the call, though. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later. Okay. Let's get to Elijah from Philly. Elijah, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, Matt, how you doing today?
Hanging in there. Yep, hanging in there. So what do you got, man?
Good, good. I got a question because I was watching a debate recently about James 2 and talking about, you know, faith alone versus faith plus works, and this was brought up by the person who believes in faith alone. He brought up the great white throne judgment. He brought up that in Revelation 20, people are damned not because of what's written in the book of deeds about you know, their good deeds and bad deeds, but they're damned on what's not found in the book of life. And I thought that was interesting, and I thought that was a good point. So what's your thoughts on that?
So the book of life is in Revelation 20:12, and I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. Okay, now there's a break, so hold on. And we'll get back, hopefully, and we'll talk about that and see if we can figure it out, okay? So, hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on with Elijah. All right, so you want to know about the Book of Life, right?
I wanted to know what are your thoughts on the guy's argument, who had the faith alone position in that debate, who said that he believes that Revelation 20:12 teaches that we're judged by whether or not we're found in the book of life, and not what our good deeds and bad deeds were that were written down in the other books. But as the break was going, I started to reread that verse, and it says, "And the dead were judged according to their works by what was written in the books." And so I began to think, you know, what if a faith plus works person, you know, brought up this argument that this verse seems to be teaching that since they're judged according to their works by what is written in the books, they will probably say that this is teaching that you're going to be judged on faith and works based, you know, righteousness. So how would you respond to that?
Well, you had a lot of stuff there. You know, faith alone is the biblical position, that we're justified by faith alone. And a lot of false religious systems want to add our works. And so the kind of verses like this and other verses, what they'll say is that we're judged by our works. Well, yeah, we are judged by our works, but not for salvation. Because the Bible teaches contrary to that. And so they forget the differentiation between justification and sanctification. Justification is the instantaneous, permanent legal work of God where he declares a sinner righteous. And this is concomitant with being saved and forgiven. And so when it talks about people, you know, are judged from the things written in the book in these books according to their deeds, of course, they're going to be judged. We Christians are going to be judged by our works, and the unbelievers are going to be judged by their works. We Christians are going to be judged in heaven. They're going to be judged in hell. And so the works are related to where we are and what we are, but they do not get us salvation, nor they keep us saved. I don't know if that clears up the issue. I'm not quite sure yet. So is that close or what?
Yeah, that does help. I'm trying to think, because I did have another question.
Let me ask you, who was the debate between? Just curious. If you remember, if you don't, that's okay.
Yeah, I got it in my watch history. Hold on, scrolling. Okay, I found it. It was on Standing for Truth. It was between Bob Wilkin and Sean Griffin. It was the James 2 debate.
Yeah, I've debated Sean Griffin. James 2 debate. It's easy. James 2 is an easy section of scripture to go through. What they want to do is say, well, what the opposing side does is they ignore the context and just say that we're justified by our faith and our works. And it's a foolish arrogance. It's pride. It's foolishness, because it's saying that God is going to look at how good we were and combine that with our faith in Christ, and then that'll get us saved. And that's saying that the work of Christ was not sufficient in and of itself to save us, and that faith that God grants to us is not enough. And so it's a problem, and those who teach that, I cannot consider brothers in Christ. Okay? So Sean Griffin's out.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
I did have another question. I'm trying to think. So in the Old Testament, because there's this other guy that comes on Standing for Truth from time to time to debate. His name is I think it's David Preston. Have you heard of him yet?
No, David Preston, I don't know. I may have even debated him. I'm on Standing for Truth every now and then doing debates. So I've debated so many people in so many different venues. I can't remember all their names. But at any rate, go ahead.
Yeah, so David Preston, he believes in faith alone as well. But if I remember correctly, I believe he said that he's a hyper dispensationalist, and so he does believe in faith alone, but he believes that under the Mosaic law, before Jesus died and rose again, he believed that people had to do faith and works under the Mosaic law in order to be saved. And he believed that after the resurrection, then the faith alone thing was instituted. And he also has set several debates on that channel where he argues that he believes the Epistle of James was written mainly for the 144,000 Jews who will be living during the tribulation. And he believes that The reason why he believes that it teaches faith and works in James is because he believes that the Mosaic law requires faith and works in order to be saved. And so he believes that James is for the Jews during the tribulation and all that stuff. And I think I think the reason why he believes that is because I think it's like the very first few verses of James. I think it said that it was written to the 12 tribes.
Yeah, the 12 tribes, as is Peter, who's written to the scattered Jews, but both of them. So, I would disagree with him wholeheartedly. We're justified by faith, and it says in Genesis 15:9, before the law was there, 15:6 actually, it says, in fact, I'll read it to you. This is what Genesis 15:6 says. And then he, that's Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, that's God, reckoned it to him as righteousness. So it's right there. And Paul quotes that in Romans 4:3. And it is the teaching that ultimately justification is by faith alone. The works and the law that were in the Old Testament were to point to Christ. The law is a taskmaster that leads us to Christ. That's Galatians 3:24. And what that means is the law is a tutor, a guide that shows us that we have to be saved by grace. If we could be saved by faith and law, then we have, when we go to Galatians 2, 16, it says, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. And in 2:21, if I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. So what Paul is saying is that it's either law or grace. That's it. It's law or faith, okay, because grace and faith there go together. So that's all it is. He doesn't combine them. He does not combine them. So what this guy's doing is combining them in the Old Testament, and that's a false teaching. He's wrong. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. And James is not just written to the 12 tribes. Because if he wants to say that, well, that's interesting, look at that. If he wants to say that to the 12 tribes dispersed and greetings and things like that, okay, does that mean it's not, doesn't apply to us? Because it says in 1 Peter, he writes to those who reside as aliens scattered in various areas. He's talking about the Jews, and he quotes a lot of Old Testament stuff. So it's also written to the Jews more specifically, with a mixture of the Gentiles. So he doesn't, he's wrong. Okay? All right, man?
All right.
We've got to go. All right, man. God bless. Talk to you later. Hey, folks, you want to give me a call? 877-207-2276. We have nobody waiting. Give me a call.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, and welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, we have wide open lines, 877-207-2276. So, hey, it's a nice Friday. I think what I'm going to do is get to some emails. Let's try this one. Love your ministry, following you for many years from here in Scotland. That's cool. My daughter just went to Scotland, and I'm going to go visit sometime. She's going to be moving there and staying there for quite a while. Anyway, really trust your discernment. Okay. If a born-again Christian man gets married to a born-again woman after both were divorced and are not divorced biblically, i.e. not from abandonment or sexual immorality, then are the Christian married couple in continual adultery, and should they divorce to be sure that they're not continually sinning? No, they should stay married. What they need to do is confess their failure and their sin before the Lord and just lay it before God. And there, that's it. Just be married, because they've already made a promise to each other, and let the past be the past. Let it, the blood of Christ cleanse it. Move forward. Stay married. Be faithful, and that's it. That's what I would say. So both have. Oh, it says both have repented of their sin of remarrying without a biblical justification, but they are faithful to each other and want to stay married. They should. Yep. But can they, or are they perpetual adulterers in marriage? No, I would say no. Because even though they did this, man gets married, and both were divorced and were not divorced biblically. So were they unbelievers at that time? If they were unbelievers at the time, even more so, the blood of Christ cleanses it. If they were believers, it's really a very serious issue, and they really have sinned. But I would say that at this point, God has, by going to the cross, then the Lord Jesus will cleanse. It's done. And just leave it alone and go forward. This reminds me, you know, we had a discussion in a seminary, and there was a mission context or missionary from some place, or we had those, or it was just a discussion about it. I don't remember, but we had this discussion. There were real situations where there would be tribes where the men practiced polygamy, and then the evangelists go in and people get they get saved, and say a man and his, and say he has four wives, they all get saved. Should he then divorce all of them except for one of them? And the answer was no, just stay married and just don't take any more wives and don't replace any wives, you know, that situation, just stay married. And I thought it was wise. You know, this is, it's not an exactly easy thing to assert, which is the right position. But I have a saying I've tried to live by on situations like this, and it's, I'd rather err on the side of grace than law on debatable issues. I'd rather be gracious about it than hyper-legalistic about it. So that's my position, and there you go. All right, let's try this. Hey, Matt, here's a question for the radio. Is it possible that God will change his mind? From an eternal perspective, he never changes his mind because all things are understood, decreed by God, since he knows himself exhaustively in all situations. And he brought into existence a particular set of actualities that he has decided. He knows what he's decided. But on the human level, God changes his mind. And this is called an anthropomorphism. I've written on this and talked about it. So there you go. That does can, it does can happen. Wow, that's pretty good. Oh, man. I'm supposed to know what I'm talking about when I talk in English. All right, let's see. I hope you're having a great week. Just a friendly reminder about the... we're excited about dinner. Okay. Yeah, let's just do this. Delete that. Okay, I'm going to look into the Wacko Mail. Let's see, I thought I had a new Wacko Mail. So, this came in this week. Here we go. I only read like the first like 10 words. I went, oh, Wacko Mail. So, I haven't read all of it, so here goes. And so, on the 41st day, having withstood all of Satan's testing in the desert, Jesus turned water into wine, the essential forbidden... Oh, I remember what I read now. The other stuff is... Anyway, the forbidden fruit-giving Father Satan, all he wanted the wine sacrament of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the Garden of Eden, the high priest of Jerusalem, Melchizedek's offering of bread and wine to Abraham after his having defeated at the local kings. Oh, all the local kings, sorry. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, also known as the karma wheel. So he goes on, he says, all roads lead to Satan on the karma wheel except one. Genesis 1:29, karma wheel is also known as the tree of knowledge. Oh my goodness. Wine is euphemistic for hypocrisy. Best example, Judas turned water into hypocrisy. You know, for most people, this is a waste of time. For me, it's entertainment. For me, I like it. I don't know. There's something wrong with me. I know. Let's see. Dead animal on the plate is a sure sign of no talent in the the kitchen. Let me read that one again. Dead animal on the plate is a sure sign of no talent in the kitchen. What? Is the animal supposed to be alive? What? You know, if I put a ribeye... cooked ribeye, does that mean I have no talent? My wife goes, ooh, that's good. Well, there's some talent there. You know, dead animal on the plate is a sure sign of no talent in the kitchen. Woohoo! That was worth it. That was worth the wait for me. That was good. Let's see another one. Dead people on the altar is a sure sign of no soul in the temple. Oh, my goodness. Oh. As we would like to say in theological circles, he does not have all his paws in a litter box. Let's try another one in the wacko. Technically, I'm a Taoist since age 3, but I just need to know how to avoid making up my own faith. That's awesome. Hey, I need some advice. Okay, what do you want? How do I avoid making up my own religion? Don't make anything up. Oh, why didn't I think of that? You know, I mean, you know if you're making something up. Okay? That's how it is, you know? So if he doesn't know, am I making this up or not? I need to know how to avoid making up my own faith. Don't you know when you make up something up? This is a no-brainer for me. Okay, let me go on. Let's see. If I founded my own religion, then it would resemble Buddhism. On a note, the Buddhist belief in impermanence resembles something from the book of Ecclesiastes, as in to every day there's a season. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. You're wrong. Okay. There you go. Yeah, see? It was easy. You're wrong. See? Correct me if I'm wrong. You're wrong. Okay. How about this one? I know I promised not to bug you, but my last email was anything but pleasant. Okay. And I just want to get along and coexist since not everyone's a Christian. Different people have different needs, hence the world religions. We cannot homogenize everyone. Now, okay, I'm waiting for a question or something here. That's good. It's just making statements, like they're fortune cookie statements, you know. Now, remember that unconditional love is a double-edged sword. Oh, it is? I didn't know that. Not only would it give, it can also take away. If you feel otherwise, fine, but God doesn't just... Okay. You know, I need another saying besides he doesn't have all his paws in a liquor box, in a litter box, like his duct tape doesn't stick. That might be good. I don't know. Duct tape. His ratchet doesn't turn, you know. I don't know. You know, maybe you guys could give me some. All right, let's try this. Let's try Thomas from Kentucky. Hey, Thomas, welcome. You are on the air.
Welcome, Matt. Nice to speak with you. Okay, in the New Testament, the verb repent means to change your purposes to a resolve to do God's will. The noun means changed purposes to a resolve to do God's will. If you could speak, you know, mainly on repentance, that's what I'm looking for right here, is what is repentance? Maybe that the audience could grasp it, know it a little bit better. Because I think there's a lot of confusion going on with the word repentance, what it means, how it affects our salvation, how it might affect our grace. Is repentance necessary for salvation? Is it a work? Is it not?
Well, let's...
Your thoughts.
Jump in. Repentance is from the Greek word metanoeo, or metanoia, okay? And... metanoia here, metanoia, and it means a change of mind from evil, because meta, change, and naos, mind, change of mind, an attitudinal, purposeful change of mind, away from that which is bad towards what is good. That's what it means at the basic level. We got a break, so hold on. We'll be right back, folks, after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get back on with Thomas from Kentucky. Thomas, are you there?
Yes, Matt, thanks. Again, in the New Testament, the verb repent and the noun repent.
No, noun would be repentance. Question. Repentance. To repent.
Yeah, the noun would be repentance.
Yeah.
And atoniate, I believe.
Yeah, metanoia is repentance. Metanoeo is the verb. Okay? And it deals with two Greek words, meta, change, and naos, mind. The change of mind. Now you asked, is it necessary for salvation? Yes and no. Repentance ultimately is changing your mind in compliance with the law. So if the law says don't lie and you're lying, then you repent of your lying, you're complying with the law. It is not compliance with the law or our repentance that gets us salvation. But repentance is part of being saved, because repentance works because God grants that we have repentance, 2 Timothy 2:25, just like he grants we have faith, Philippians 1:29. So repentance is part of salvation in that we do turn from our sin, and we should, but it's not the turning from sin that saves us, it's faith in Christ that saves us, okay?
Okay, so if people fall back into sin, are they repentant or are they unrepentant?
Well, it depends. You can have different kinds of sin that people can get into in degrees. You can have someone who has a problem with a certain sin and has fallen into it periodically through his whole life, and he continues to fight it. Well, he's repentant as much as he can be, and he fails. It doesn't mean he's not saved. Then you have the kind that's false
repentant. I'm sorry to interrupt, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, if you are Holy Spirit-driven, you should not be sinning. Those things shouldn't be a problem, no?
Well, are you saying then that Christians don't sin anymore?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying Christians sin all the time. Maybe. Okay. I don't know. From an individual perspective, I don't know. They do. Maybe they do. But, well, you know, when is it, you know, again...
Hold on. Yes, Christians still sin, and Christians struggle with their sin. Even as Paul the Apostle, in Romans chapter 7, verses 18 through 25, he talked about the things he did not want to do, he did, and the things he knows he wasn't supposed to do, he did, and vice versa. So, see, he struggled, but it doesn't mean he wasn't saved. Some people say,
But how can you have an unrepentant heart if you're still sinning? How can you have a repentant heart if you're still sinning? That's my question.
Okay. Are there any sins that you have committed more than once in your life since you've been a Christian?
Absolutely.
Okay. Are you repentant about them?
I am.
Okay. So you're repentant.
Hold on.
You repent, but you still struggle with them. Repentance is an attitudinal change. It doesn't mean we automatically have victory over it every time. Okay? Are you there?
Then why do I feel guilt, shame, and like I'm not going to be saved if I keep engaging in these sins?
Because you don't understand what the gospel is. If you think you're going to lose your salvation, you're not really saved because you fall back into sin, even as a Christian, then you don't understand what the gospel is. See, the gospel is...
Yes, I know what the gospel is. I know, because I took your course. I know, and I know because I believe. You know, I believe, therefore I know. I don't know to believe. Well, maybe I got that backwards.
I'm trying to say... is that in our sanctification, becoming more Christ-like, we sin, and we can struggle with our sin, and we can commit before God not to do a particular sin again, and then we succumb to it again. It doesn't mean our repentance wasn't true. It means that at this point it was temporary, even though we intended it not to be, but it resulted in, our failure resulted in our sin. We all continue to sin, and we're all seeking repentance in many different ways. But if you think that you aren't saved because you're still sinning, that means you don't know the gospel. Now, I'm hoping that's not your position.
That is not my position at all. Okay, I know that. I've come to that conclusion, you know, from what I've, you know, what God has granted me. Okay. Through his grace only. And I'm just struggling with repentance and...
Me too.
...and grace right now. You know, I'm struggling with that. I'm saying, you know, I'm not as good as I could be. Yeah. I'm not as bad as I should be by God's grace. That saved me from going down that road. Mm-hmm. But still, I just don't, you know, again, maybe it's my Catholic upbringing. Maybe it's my works. You know, you have to be this. You have to, you know, you have to do this. You have to do that. You have to work your way. Do this. You know.
Well,
I don't know.
But I would say read Romans chapter 7, verses 18 through 25, and see what Paul was going through. God grants repentance. The repentance is a generic, we turn from our old ways. We turn from them. We turn away from them and towards Christ. It doesn't mean we automatically stop sinning. And then when we have these things that we work against, you know, our sins.
So how do you deal with your sin then? You know, how do you deal with your sin then? When you make a mistake, you just run to God and say, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, forgive me, even though you knew that your evil heart led you that way. I mean, yes, I pray for the mortification of my sin every day, that God would mortify the flesh. That might be a little bit too Catholic for you as well, but... That's what I was taught. You know, we ask God to help mortify our sins, to help, you know, cleanse us from our sins, to help us to lead in the right way. Where's that?
You're asking a lot of different things. I don't know what you want me to answer, because when I start to answer, you cut me off and keep going.
No, I'm sorry.
So,
go ahead.
So, I mean, I'm just waiting because you're just going through this and that and that and this. I'm trying to explain something. God grants us repentance in a generic sense. We still struggle with things. That struggle is a sign of our regeneration. But we need to continually fight against our sin. That's why I say read Romans 7, 18 through 25. It does not mean, though, that if we continue to fall into the same sin through years, it doesn't mean we're not saved. It means that we are just weak. And when we do fall into that sin, we ask God to forgive us again. We go to the cross all the time, and in that we glorify God. Okay. Are you there?
Yes. Sounds very simplistic, though. Sounds very simplistic. So there's nothing on our side that we could do.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I said you continue to struggle against it. You go to the cross. You ask forgiveness, and you continue to war against it. That's what you do.
All right. All right.
That's it. You aren't getting into Catholicism now, are you? Because you mentioned that's what the Catholics teach and stuff.
No. I was raised Catholic, but, you know, I knew a lot of good priests. They were nice people. You know, I mean, I think you should take a little bit of maybe a lower edge on them, because there are a lot of good people. I mean, maybe they are misled. Maybe they're in a false religion. But, you know, I mean, they've been led astray. You could say, but still, you know, they were good people. You know, they always set me right on the right track, rather. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
The right track to hell or the right track to heaven, I don't know. That's for God to decide. It's not my call. But, yeah, I mean, you know, just like you say, yeah, there are some, you know, they might be some saved people in the Catholic faith, as in all other faiths, not for me to decide. You know, that's for bigger minds and maybe God. But I won't condone anything that they say that is unbiblical. I will not do that.
Yeah, and they preach a false gospel, and they promote idolatry.
Well, we know that.
So,
we know that.
So that's why I say anyone who believes official Roman Catholic theology can't be a true Christian. They're going to hell. Official.
Can't
official.
Be. And that's very sad, Matt, and I'll tell you why.
We're going to go. All right, we're just going to move along. So let's get to Pearl from Virginia. Hey, Pearl, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, sir. Could you please give me your opinion as to whether God the Almighty accepts anything from me, except that it comes through his blessed Holy Spirit?
It comes through Christ. Christ is our mediator. He's our high priest. And so everything comes through Christ, not through the Holy Spirit. Okay?
I beg your pardon. Say that again.
Jesus is our mediator, 1 Timothy 2:5.
Yes.
He's our high priest, Hebrews 6:20 and Hebrews 7:25. He is our intercessor. So his blood is what cleanses us.
Amen.
So 1 John 1:9, you know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? Because it's his blood that cleanses us. That's what it says.
I'm so glad you say that because I believe that with all of my heart.
Good. And so
our ministers do not preach that very much. I think that Satan is the reason of that. He does not want that to be preached because it was his undoing.
Okay, so let's get back to the original topic. So,
what I asked you, in other words, is that, you know, we think good people, when, and if I'm not, I may be incorrect, but I think God's word says there are no good people.
Right, Romans 3:10 through 12.
Right.
There's no one who's good, no one who does good, because
that's
all people are.
That's what I thought. So in other words, God the Holy Spirit is the only one that does that which is receivable by God the Almighty. In me.
Okay. So I'm going to say it again. It's not through the Holy Spirit that your works and intentions are mediated, but through Christ.
Through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. He's our high priest.
But,
all right.
But they are all one. Three in one and one in three, right?
That's the doctrine of the Trinity. But the person of Christ is our mediator, not the Holy Spirit.
Okay. So did I say wrong or right? The only thing that God receives from me is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
There you go. So,
and that's true.
So that what he receives needs to be purified through the work of Christ, not through some other means, only through him. And that's what you should
only
do.
Through the precious blood of the Lamb.
That's right. Yep. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Gotta go. All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. So, I hope you all enjoyed the show. And by God's grace, we'll be back on here on Monday. And we'll talk to you then. Have a great week.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.